Today, we have an interesting gospel story. Our reading comes on the heels of the one from last Sunday, where Jesus drives a demon out of the man in the synagogue. Now, today's story, Jesus and four disciples are going to the house of Simon and Andrew. There, they find Simon's mother-in-law incapacitated with a fever. So Jesus takes her by the hand and lifts her up. She's cured. And then what? Well, she began to serve them. Or as it can also be translated, and she waited on them. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems a little off to me. Jesus and four other men come into the house of a woman, the woman is healed, and then she waits on them, bringing food and drink. Many people have even joked that Simon's mother-in-law was healed just in time for dinner. It's actually a pretty common interpretation, and it's really easy to see, because on the surface of the story, that's exactly what seems to happen. And some feminist theologians have even argued for this view and say that it shows how insidious and ingrained the patriarchal norms of the time were. Once Simon's mother-in-law feels better, she returns to her place in the kitchen. Other interpreters have gone a little bit further, and they've gone so far as to say that it was a cause for embarrassment for Simon's mother-in-law that she was infirm at all while there were visitors. She would not have been able to be hospitable toward her guests, and would, or they would say she should, feel a great deal of shame that she was not initially able to wait on them. Even others have looked at the story and claim that it is a man's work to preach and heal, and once Peter's mother-in-law was healed by the man, Jesus, she was able again to occupy her true station in life, doing the banal tasks of the household. So, with all of these rather depressing and unfortunate interpretations, how is this story ever going to be good news? So let's go back to the beginning. Simon's mother-in-law is the first woman to appear in Mark's gospel. There's an assumption that there were probably other women present at different places in Jesus' ministry, but there's not really any evidence yet in Mark. She also has an identity. Granted, her identity is derived from her relationship to a man. She is Simon's mother-in-law. But she's not just a random woman. This makes her an important character for us as readers of Mark's gospel. And so, what about this problematic scene where Jesus heals her only to have her wait on them? The Greek verb that is used here is diakoneo. It can mean served or waited upon, but it can also mean to act as a host, to a teacher, to provide for or to minister to someone. It's where we get our churchy word, deacon. Deacons minister to those out in the world. And Mark uses it three times in his gospel. The first is when Jesus emerges after being tempted for 40 days in the desert, and angels come and they minister diakoneo to him. Another is when Jesus describes his self-giving death, saying that he came to serve, diakoneo, and not to be served. And the final time it's used is to describe the women who provided diakoneo for Jesus during his ministry. In every other place where Mark uses this word to describe human or angelic service, it is in reference to people ministering and providing for the person that they know to be the Son of God, which is an identity that up until this point in Mark's gospel is only known but to the angels and demons. But as Jesus brings Simon's mother-in-law back to health and wholeness, she realizes right then and there that he is the Christ. And out of that love and appreciation, Simon's mother-in-law goes about ministering to them. It may have looked like making a dinner or getting water, maybe pouring some wine, or it might have looked completely different. We just don't know. But she was doing it not because society was telling her that she should be waiting on these men, but because she has an opportunity in her house to minister to God and God's friends. Mark sets Simon's mother-in-law apart as a very, very important person. She is the first deacon that we see in Scripture. And it's no wonder that the verb diakoneo can be used to indicate one executing the office of a deacon. Jesus heals her, and she immediately goes into service. Now, in much of early Christianity, people met not in dedicated structures like this, not in fancy churches like we have today, but they met simply in houses. They would share a meal and exchange stories. Simon's mother-in-law was the first deacon, and part of her ministry was to operate the first house church, ministering to Jesus and his companions. And then she opens up her doors to the larger community that brought their sick and possessed friends and relatives. If you ever go to Israel, a few years ago I was in Jerusalem, and you go to Capernaum, where Simon lived, there's a large church with a glass floor. And when you're in it, you can look down, and because of the way they've excavated, you can see the ruins of past churches that have just built one on top of the other. But as the archaeologists have continued to dig down and deeper, they found a residential structure on top of which a church was built in the first century. And this first century church was the very first church to be built in the world. And the residential structure below has been acknowledged as Simon's house, where his mother-in-law lived, where she was healed by Jesus, where she recognized who he was long before any of the disciples, where she became the first deacon, and her house that the first ever church sits on was the first house church. And I wonder, do you often think about your homes as churches? Do you find sacredness there? It's not been a particular emphasis in Western Christianity, this idea that the church and the home are more similar than they are not. But in the Eastern Church, they have prioritized that. Within Orthodoxy, they refer to their homes as a little church. It is a place to worship. It's a place to learn and grow and to minister to others. Many people even will set up a prayer corner and light candles and have icons to remind them specifically that the reign of God is not confined to a church building, but it goes with us and should go with us as we go out into the world. And so I challenge you today, in the spirit of Simon's mother-in-law, to begin to imagine how your house is and can be a little church too. How do you minister to yourself and to other people there? In what ways do you see that the things you do are holy? And how can the ordinary tasks that we do every day, even the most mundane and boring, like cleaning and vacuuming, maybe even scrubbing toilets, how can those tasks be used to honor God? That's your challenge.